The attention it's due, the members will remove their conversations to the back of the chambers. Please clear the aisles. Gentleman's recognized.
The alarm bells began ringing on this health crisis over 7 years ago when a Missouri doctor diagnosed several workers from the same popcorn production plant with this debilitating lung disease. In 2002, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health linked their lung disease to the exposure to diacetyl used in the plant. Scientists have called the effect of diacetyl on workers' lungs astonishingly grotesque and like it to inhaling acid. Hundreds of workers in popcorn and flavor production have become ill. Several have died of popcorn lung, and many of the affected workers are so sick that they needed lung transplants. Dozens of workers have sued flavoring manufacturers, winning millions in lawsuits and settlements. NIOSH first connected popcorn lung to this chemical in 2002, and in 2003, NIOSH issued a guidance recommendation that workers' exposure be minimized. In 2004, the Food Extract Manufacturers Association, the trade association of the flavoring industry, issued similar guidelines. Yet 5 years later, the Occupational Safe and Healthy Administration has failed to issue a standard to protect workers from exposure to diacetyl and preferring to rely on voluntary efforts. Voluntary efforts, however, have not worked. Last year, California researchers found that despite the issuance of government and industry guidance for years before, many of those recommendations still have not been implemented in the flavor manufacturing facilities, and new cases of this debilitating lung disease have been identified. How does this bill address the problem? H.R. 2693 would require OSHA to issue an interim final standard to minimize worker exposure to diacetyl. The standard would contain provisions of engineering controls, respiratory protection, exposure monitoring and medical surveillance, and worker training. The interim standard applies to popcorn manufacturing and packaging, as well as the food flavoring industry. OSHA then would be required to issue a final standard within 2 years. This final standard would apply to all locations where workers are exposed to diacetyl and would include permissible exposure limit. This bill should not be controversial. It is not another battle between workers and business about safety issues and alleged burdens of regulations. Over the past several months, we've built a wide coalition around this legislation from all sides, including industry, labor, and scientists. The Flavor and Extract Manufacturers Association, the association representing the companies that make these flavorings, has joined the unions that represent the affected workers strongly to support this legislation. In fact, the only outside dissenters of this coalition are the usual anti-OSHA ideologues sprouting the same old sky is falling rhetoric about regulation. Such rhetoric may be music to the ears of the OSHA-hating ideologues in search of a talking point, but the real world, the ideology leaves workers and their families to suffer from the preventable scourges of toxic chemicals. There are many reasons why industry, labor, and scientists agree on this legislation. They all agree that we don't need to wait any longer to act. Indeed, we can't afford to wait. I have a list of almost 30 major studies and reports showing that diacetyl destroys workers' lungs. They agree that we know how to protect workers. The National Institute of Occupational Health and Safety issued guidelines in 2003 laying out the basic measures that industry can take to prevent worker exposure to diacetyl. In 2004, the Flavor Manufacturing Association outlined even greater detail the measures that members can take to prevent the employees from getting sick. This legislation is straightforward and merely requires that OSHA do what it could have done and should have already done, issue an emergency standard. There is precedent for this bill. The Congress has stepped in when OSHA falters in 1986, 1990, 91, 92, and 2000. Congress moved to require OSHA to issue health and safety standards. Earlier this month, in response to a report that the consumer of a microwave popcorn had contracted popcorn lung, a few popcorn manufacturers have announced that they intend to stop using diacetyl. This is welcome news. It highlights just how serious this issue is, but it is not enough. Workers are still at risk because diacetyl will continue to be used in a variety of other food products. We can't wait for consumers to get sick and hit the companies in the pocketbook before the industry changes. Workers are getting sick now and have for many years and will continue to get sick unless we act. Workers cannot wait any longer for our help. In the past several years, we've seen hundreds of workers become sick from exposure to diacetyl, and we've heard about young workers who need lung transplants, who are not expected to live to see their small children grow up. The time for us is to act. OSHA has failed over 5 years. They've been on notice of this. They have failed to do this. The only time they have shown any movement is when we've called a hearing or had some congressional action. They've responded to it. The time has come for the Congress to act and to pass this legislation and stop ignoring the needs of these workers' health and safety. And it's time to get OSHA to do the job that they were constituted to do, and that's to protect these workers and their families from this preventable exposure to diacetyl as a toxic substance that it has become.
Gentleman reserves. Gentleman from California.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield myself such time as I may consume.
The gentleman is recognized for such time as he may consume.
Mr. Speaker, earlier this year, the Subcommittee on Workforce Protections held a hearing that explored, among other things, the question of whether and how the flavoring compound, diacetyl, should be regulated by OSHA. We heard from an individual suffering from lung impairment that could well have been developed as a result of his manufacturing popcorn, during which he was exposed to high concentrations of diacetyl and numerous other chemicals. There are many questions about this particular chemical. In fact, a number of large popcorn manufacturers recently announced voluntary steps to curb the use of diacetyl while its effects on worker health are studied. The bill before us calls for a much more drastic response to the concerns about this chemical. It would require OSHA to set an interim final standard relating to diacetyl exposure within 90 days of passage, to be followed by a final rule within 2 years. This directive is, without a doubt, a well-intended effort to prevent illness that may be caused by this particular substance. Unfortunately, despite its good intentions, this bill has the potential to cause great harm. I recognize that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle wish to do something to respond to the questions about this chemical. I also understand their frustration about a lack of action by the administration. Candidly, I share some of that frustration. It is my understanding that just this week, the administration announced plans to implement rulemaking for diacetyl exposure. This, despite the fact that Congress has been looking into these concerns for months, and until this week had not received clear, unambiguous direction from the administration other than a letter written by the OSHA administrator expressing serious concerns about the implications of the bill. From the outset of this process, I've been concerned about the lack of scientific data available to guide our actions. Without the necessary scientific understanding of this chemical, we cannot possibly develop the appropriate guidelines to protect workers. At this point, we still do not even know whether diacetyl alone or in conjunction with other chemicals is responsible for the condition known as popcorn lung. Because of my concerns about a lack of scientific data, and because I'm uneasy about short-circuiting the proven regulatory process, I raised concerns about this bill when it was considered in committee. It's my position that the administration should be allowed adequate time to complete necessary scientific investigation before developing new standards. I was at the outset, and I remain concerned that such a rushed response to questions about this substance make for better politics than policy. That is why I was so surprised and frankly disappointed to learn that only now has the administration suddenly chosen to take action. They announced on Monday their intent to initiate rulemaking, issue a safety and health information bulletin, and provide hazard communication guidance. The administration's actions in this case and their lack of communication with Congress have done nothing to shed light on this issue of concern to us all. Instead, it has resulted in confusion about what is being done to address this issue and when they and we can expect to have answers. In fact, if the administration had simply been forthright with Congress about its plans, we might not be here considering this questionable legislation at all. During committee consideration, Republicans offered an alternative. Our plan, which we will offer as an amendment today, strikes a balance between acting quickly to protect workers while relying upon sound science to establish a comprehensive regulation. The Republican plan would maintain the 90-day deadline for establishing an interim final rule. Under this rule, guidance would be provided so that manufacturers could take immediate steps to limit exposure through the use of engineering improvements, ventilation, and other strategies to protect workers. Our plan would also maintain the requirement that a final rule be developed, including a permissible exposure limit. Under our alternative, this would be required within 2 years after the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health concludes that the standard can be supported by solid scientific evidence. In short, the amendment maintains the same time frame for immediate protection while eliminating the arbitrary nature of the final rule in favor of a timeline based on the availability of scientific evidence. I want to reiterate my deep concern for the workers who have become ill. It is my goal, and surely the goal of everyone here, to determine as soon as possible what caused their illness and what can be done to prevent future occurrences. Mr. Speaker, I opposed this bill in committee because I felt it did not allow for adequate scientific study. I also believed it undermined the longstanding regulatory process. However, I strongly support the effort to protect workers, and I can understand why members on both sides of the aisle would wish to vote in favor of this measure. As for me, until we can clear up the confusion surrounding this bill, I will reluctantly oppose it. I continue to believe this legislation undermines sound scientific and regulatory processes, but I will keep an open mind as this bill progresses through the legislative process. If further scientific evidence is uncovered as this bill moves to the Senate and to the President, my position could change. I only wish the administration had acted sooner and we could have been spared this debate entirely. With that, I yield back the balance of my time. And Mr. Speaker, I reserve the balance of my time, and I yield the balance of my time to the gentleman from South Carolina, the ranking member on the subcommittee, and ask unanimous consent that he be allowed to control that time. Mr. Wilson.
The gentleman from South Carolina will be recognized based on unanimous consent.
No objection. It's fine.
Gentleman from California.
Mr. Speaker, I yield myself 1 minute. I certainly appreciate the situation my ranking member, Mr. McKeon from California, finds himself in, and I appreciate his remarks about the actions of OSHA in this situation. The fact is that, again, earlier this month, in a commentary of the Dutch study on diacetyl workers, which found that it is unlikely that any other chemicals are responsible for these cases, NIOSH scientist Dr. Catherine Kress wrote that the collective evidence for diacetyl causing respiratory hazards supports actions to minimize exposure and diacetyl, even if contributions by other flavoring chemicals exist. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. This isn't a desire to rush to legislation. The fact is, as Mr. McKeon pointed out, on this side of the aisle also, we're all terribly disappointed by the failure of OSHA to engage this problem and to engage the people who are coming forth now supporting this legislation to construct a solution. And with that, I would like to yield the 4 minutes to the gentlewoman from California, Ms. Woolsey, who is the subcommittee chair and has handled this legislation.
The gentlelady from California is recognized for 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Miller, for this bill and for the work you do for all working Americans. I'm truly sorry that Mr. McKeon can't support it, but I'm proud to be the sponsor of H.R. 2693, the Popcorn Lung Disease Protection Act, which requires OSHA to issue an emergency temporary standard to regulate workers' exposure to diacetyl, a chemical used in butter flavoring for microwave popcorn and other food products. It is a travesty that OSHA has done nothing to regulate this chemical while workers have fallen seriously ill and have actually died. In 1997, Congress passed OSHA to provide every working man and woman in the nation a safe and healthful workplace. And we gave the new agency charged with the administration the full name of the Occupational Safety and Health Act. And we also gave them important tools to enforce the provisions of the law. One of the most important functions OSHA is charged with is to develop health and safety standards. And when it was exercised, this function actually saved the lives and health of many, many workers. For example, in 1978, when OSHA's cotton dust standard was adopted, there were 40,000 cases of brown lung disease annually, affecting 12% of all textile workers. By 2000, and because of OSHA, brown lung was virtually eliminated. And OSHA's 1978 standard on lead dramatically reduced lead poisoning. But sadly, Mr. Chairman, there are still millions of workers who suffer from injuries and illnesses while working. One of the most grievous examples of this are workers who are contracting popcorn lung disease from exposure to a chemical called diacetyl, used in the manufacture of microwave popcorn and other foods. The Workforce Protection Subcommittee held a hearing on OSHA standards in April, and we heard from Eric Peoples, a former microwave popcorn worker who has popcorn lung. Eric is in his 30s, and he has a young family. He worked in a microwave popcorn facility in Missouri for less than 2 years. And after that, he had to stop work because he had contracted popcorn lung disease. Popcorn lung is an irreversible and life-threatening respiratory disease. Erica has lost 80% of his lung capacity, is awaiting a double lung transplant, and faces an early death, all because he was exposed to diacetyl. A standard regulating exposure of diacetyl is currently needed. While OSHA has known about the dangers of the chemical for years, it has failed. It has failed day after day, year after year, to act to make this standard an actual reality. In fact, OSHA has done virtually nothing to protect workers against diacetyl. And now there's been at least one or two other reported cases of popcorn lung in consumers. Wayne Watson, a 53-year-old man from Colorado, has been diagnosed with popcorn lung due to his daily consumption of microwave popcorn over a 10-year period. In addition, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer reported that a 6-year-old child, the son of a popcorn plant employee who has popcorn lung, was showing signs of the disease himself. In that case, when the popcorn plant closed, the company told the employee they could help themselves to any of the company's products. The father took home some butter-flavored oil containing diacetyl and used it for frying food. May I have...
I yield the gentleman an additional 1 minute.
Thank you.
The gentleman is recognized for an additional minute.
As a result, this 6-year-old child was exposed to the chemical, and it made him sick. These are unintended and unfortunate consequences when OSHA refuses to act to protect workers. This is even though the Flavor and Extract Manufacturers Association, that represents the food flavoring manufacturers, issued a warning of the dangers from exposure of diacetyl and recommended control and measures controlling that chemical. OSHA does not seem moved to meaningful action, even though four of the nation's biggest popcorn makers have recently announced that they are working to remove diacetyl from their products. In my own state of California, Cal OSHA is currently working on a standard to regulate diacetyl. There's a whole list of agencies that I will enter into the record that are supporting the regulation of diacetyl. So, Mr. Chairman, now is the time for this Congress to stand up for the nation's workers and vote for popcorn lung.
Gentlelady's time has expired.
Blah, blah. I ran out of...
Gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, I yield myself so much time as I may consume. Mr. Speaker, when I looked at the issue of diacetyl and manufacturing during the debate in committee, the answer seemed very clear to me at the time: proper ventilation. Even though it is unclear what is affecting manufacturing workers, all the experts agree that engineering controls such as ventilation reduces worker exposure. I take very seriously lung illnesses. For nearly 10 years, I served on the state board of the South Carolina Lung Association, and in the South Carolina State Senate, I introduced innovative legislation promoting clean air. Fundamentally, the science does not exist to state a link between diacetyl and the impaired lung function. Indeed, last year, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, noted, quote, "At this time, insufficient data exists on which to base workplace exposure standards or recommended exposure limits for butter flavorings," end of quote. Unfortunately, this bill goes beyond the issue of what is known. The underlying bill requires the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to set a standard based on documents that OSHA informs us cannot guide rulemaking. These documents provide guidelines of how to solve the problem at issue, but are not the foundation for a rule. More research is currently underway to determine a connection between diacetyl and this respiratory condition, and I fully support that research moving forward. In fact, the underlying measure contains an amendment I offered during the committee consideration of the bill to require NIOSH to study similar flavorings to determine possible exposure hazards with flavorings similar to diacetyl. Until there is conclusive evidence, it remains to be seen if diacetyl alone is to blame or whether the chemical in combination with the other flavorings places workers at risk. On June 18th, Assistant Secretary of Labor for Occupational Safety and Health, Edwin Folk, a distinguished attorney from Greenville, South Carolina, of the highest integrity, reiterated this in a letter to Congress, in which he stated, quote, "Focusing on diacetyl ignores the possibility that other flavoring components, many of which are irritants and airway reactive substances, are playing a role in the development of disease. Given the wide variety of ways and forms in which diacetyl and other flavoring components are used in the food manufacturing industry, a narrow focus on diacetyl would likely result in a selection of risk management strategies that may not adequately protect employees," end of quote. I asked to submit this letter for the record. This is a critical point. Until we know the true cause of this lung impairment, I do not see how we can effectively legislate on it. Further, major manufacturers using this flavoring have already announced they will no longer be using diacetyl. The lack of scientific foundation is, unfortunately, not the only problem with the bill before us. There are numerous flaws outlined by the OSHA administrator's letter. Further, the president has announced strong opposition to the bill, largely because it is flawed. Undermining the rulemaking process that this bill does would almost certainly include input from key stakeholders that often provide imperative for a balanced rulemaking process. Because this bill fails to allow time for appropriate scientific research, and because it undermines the proven regulatory framework, I fear it will not do enough to protect workers. My amendment that was made in order would resolve much of this problem. I reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman reserves. The gentleman's request to insert into the record will be granted under general leave. For what purpose does the gentleman from California arise?
To yield to the gentleman from New Jersey, 4 minutes.
Gentleman Mr. Andrews. The gentleman from New Jersey is recognized for 4 minutes. Without objection.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I thank the chairman for yielding. I rise in support of this legislation. In 2002, 5 years ago, NIOSH, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, discovered a link between a dreadful disease called popcorn lung that literally eats away at the tissue of a man or woman's lung and diacetyl. A lot has happened in the 5 years since then. Hundreds of people have been severely sickened. A significant number of people have died. In 2003, NIOSH recommended that manufacturers using diacetyl adopt certain standards to protect workers against popcorn lung disease. In 2004, the Food and Extract Manufacturers Association, the trade association of the affected industry, voluntarily adopted certain recommendations that employers and manufacturers do what they could to protect workers against popcorn lung. Very recently, under the leadership of Subcommittee Chairwoman Woolsey, who called attention to this issue, drafted a piece of legislation. Some good things happened. The Flavor and Extract Manufacturers Association said, "We agree with the legislation. We want OSHA to act to protect these workers as a matter of law, not a matter of courtesy." The Flavor and Extract Manufacturers Association were joined by the industrial hygienists, the experts in this matter, by the physicians, the American College of Environmental and Occupational Medicine, by the public health experts, the American Public Health Association, by the voice of organized labor, the AFL-CIO, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, the Teamsters, the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers, and Grain Millers Union, and the American Society of Safety Engineers. So, the manufacturers agree OSHA ought to act. The physicians agree OSHA ought to act. The industrial hygienists agree that OSHA ought to act. Labor unions agree that OSHA ought to act. And the American Association of Safety Engineers agrees that OSHA ought to act. All these things have happened in the last 5 years, but one thing has not happened. OSHA has not acted. So today we will. This is a case of administrative malpractice. This is a case of an administrative agency that is given the responsibility under the law to protect working Americans. After 5 years of evidence, after the unanimous judgment of doctors, hygienists, the trade association, organized labor, after 5 years of unanimous judgment that it's time for OSHA to act, OSHA still has not acted. Now, the normal course, Mr. Chairman, is to wait for the administrative agency to make up its mind. We've already followed that course. We've waited for 5 years as hundreds of people have been sickened and as a significant number of people have passed on. The time to wait is over. The time to act is now. So I would urge our Republican and Democratic colleagues to join with doctors, industrial hygienists, the Manufacturers Association, organized labor, the Public Health Association, and say to OSHA, stop this administrative malpractice, enact a standard, and protect these workers against this dreadful disease. I'd like to congratulate Chairwoman Woolsey, Chairman Miller, and the other leaders in this effort, and urge a yes vote. I yield back my time to the gentleman.
Gentleman's time has expired. Gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move to introduce into the record letters in opposition from the American Bakers Association, dated September the 25th, 2007, the OSHA Fairness Coalition of September 25th, 2007, and the Office of Management and Budget, dated September the 25th, 2007.
The gentleman's motion is granted under general leave.
Mr. Speaker, I yield so much time as may consume to the gentleman from Georgia, an experienced physician, Dr. Tom Price.
The gentleman from Georgia is recognized for how long, sir? The gentleman from South Carolina will state how long the gentleman's recognized for.
So long as he may consume.
For as long as he may consume, such time as he may consume. The gentleman from Georgia is recognized.
I thank the Speaker, and I thank my good friend from South Carolina for his leadership on this, as well as so many other issues. You know what, I represent the 6th District of Georgia, one that is interested actively in the input of members of Congress and the actions of government, but they have some suspicion about the actions of government. When I came to Congress, I was told a story by a former member who told an amusing story about his sense that when members of Congress get on the airplane and they head toward Washington to come to work, they think they're pretty smart folks. As they get closer to Washington, they think that their intelligence increases. as they begin to descend and come into Reagan National Airport, they really think they're getting mighty smart. And then once they step off the plane, they think they are the brightest people on the face of the earth. And I tell that because folks listening to this might be surprised that there actually is a process in place for rulemaking within OSHA. There is a process in place that maximizes workplace safety while it sets standards on the strongest, based upon the strongest and the most complete scientific information. Now, today the House of Representatives is considering a bill which bypasses this process. Bypasses the process and sets a permissible exposure limit for diacetyl, making members of Congress the ones who are the experts on scientific evidence. Now, as my friend mentioned, before I came to Congress, I was a physician, and one of the things that concerned me greatly was that members of Congress, many members of Congress, think that they know best about so many issues. One of them was how to practice medicine. In this instance, it's what the level of appropriate exposure for a worker in this nation ought be for diacetyl. Now, diacetyl is an artificial flavoring, as you've heard, that's commonly used for popcorn. It has been determined to be safe for general consumption, but the inhalation, the breathing in of large quantities, may be harmful, although there is not any evidence that demonstrates that it can be solely harmful to an individual, which is what this bill actually assumes or presumes. You've heard talk about the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH. NIOSH is the group that studies these kinds of things. In fact, they produced a study that concluded, quote, there is insufficient data that exists on which to base workplace exposure standards or recommended exposure limits for butter flavorings, unquote. Those are the folks that are the scientists that are involved in setting standards. We ought to listen to their recommendation. I commend the author, and I commend the individuals who want to push the process forward more rapidly. I think that's an appropriate thing to do. But by adopting this bill, Congress is effectively saying to OSHA that your rulemaking process doesn't make any difference, that we don't need to hear from the folks who have the greatest amount of knowledge about an issue, that Congress is about to set standards based upon incomplete scientific evidence. Now, that may not be of great concern to some, but it ought to be. It ought to be. Regulations of this nature should only be based on the most sound and thorough scientific data. Otherwise, Congress is coming back every 6 months, every year, every 2 years, and revising what they put in place because they haven't based their information, their decision-making on appropriate scientific information. If this legislation is to go forward, then I would encourage my colleagues to allow it to do so with the adoption of the Wilson Amendment. This amendment would ensure that a final safety standard for diacetyl is, in fact, based on adequate scientific and complete review by NIOSH. The Wilson Amendment will guarantee that the most effective worker protections are put in place with the backing of science, rather than identifying one compound without complete information. If the goal here is workplace safety, then we ought to make certain that that safety, those guidelines, those regulations are put in place and done correctly. Members of Congress should have a critical eye on the OSHA rulemaking process without a doubt, but it's important that we not implement mandates based upon incomplete scientific evidence and without all of the facts. So for those reasons, Mr. Chairman, I once again thank my colleague for his assistance and his leadership in this area. I would urge adoption of the Wilson Amendment, and if that does not occur, then I would urge defeat of the underlying bill, and I yield back the balance of my time.
The gentleman from South Carolina wished to reserve the balance of his time.
Reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman from California.
I yield 4 minutes to the gentlewoman from New Hampshire, Ms. Carol Shea Porter.
The gentleman from New Hampshire is recognized for 4 minutes.
So this was done.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thank my friend for yielding me time to speak on this important issue. As a co-sponsor of H.R. 2693, I rise to express my very strong support of the legislation and to highlight the dangerous philosophy under which the current administration and consequently OSHA has been operating. Beside me you see, in print, the philosophy of guidance over standards and regulations. Just to be clear here, guidance is great, but it's terribly dangerous when it comes at the expense of enforceable standards. It is this issue that brings us to the floor today. This hazard communications guidance, which was released just on Monday, starts with a sort of disclaimer paragraph that begins by explaining, this guidance is not a standard or regulation, and it creates no new legal obligations. And it concludes with, failure to implement any specific recommendations in this guidance is not in itself a violation of the general duty clause. Citations can only be based on standards, regulations, and general duty clause. In fact, under this administration, OSHA has issued only one significant new standard, which was on the cancer-causing chemical hexavalent chromium, and this was done under court order. This is an incredibly dangerous philosophy for workers nationwide who rely on the health and safety precautions that OSHA is charged with ensuring. OSHA's obligation to protect these workers is certainly not met by simply enforcing current standards while ignoring emerging dangers. OSHA has responsibility to promulgate new standards and protections as soon as we learn of the hazardous nature of such chemicals as diacetyl. And to my colleagues who would say that Congress should step back and let OSHA do its job, I say gladly, we will step back when OSHA steps up and fulfills its obligation to provide meaningful health and safety protections for our nation's workers. I urge my colleagues to support this legislation that will provide this meaningful protection. It does this by requiring OSHA to issue an interim standard and within 2 years to promulgate a final standard with respect to diacetyl. Our workers deserve this added safety. So do our families that use this product, and this bill deserves our support. And with that, I yield back.
The gentlelady yields back. The gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, this time I have no further witnesses, but I reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman reserves the right to close. Gentleman from California.
Pardon, how much time do we have?
Gentleman from California still control has 11 and a half minutes remaining. The gentleman from South Carolina has 15 minutes remaining.
I yield to the gentleman from New York 3 minutes, Mr. Bishop.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the chairman for yielding. Mr. Speaker, I rise today in strong support of H.R. 2693, the Popcorn Workers Lung Disease Prevention Act. Millions of Americans enjoy the convenience of microwave popcorn. However, few are aware that those bags of popcorn may contain diacetyl, an artificial butter flavoring and a deadly chemical when inhaled at high levels. You earlier heard about Eric Peoples from Chairman Woolsey, who worked at the Jasper Popcorn Company. Mr. Peoples has the debilitating disease of popcorn lung, and as a result, he has only 24% of his lung capacity. Everyday activities are no longer possible for him. Another worker at the Jasper Popcorn plant, Linda Redman, started working at the plant in 1995. Within 2 years, her breathing was so impaired that she had to quit. I believe that Eric and Linda's pain may have been prevented if OSHA had acted to issue a standard to limit workers' exposure to diacetyl. OSHA has still failed to issue a standard, even though it was some 7 years ago that it was determined that worker illnesses were related to the chemical diacetyl. H.R. 2693 is a simple bill. It requires OSHA to issue an emergency interim standard within 90 days to protect workers at popcorn and flavorings manufacturing plants to minimize diacetyl, and it requires OSHA to then issue a final standard within 2 years. An emergency standard will help protect the thousands of workers who come into contact with diacetyl every day. The Flavor and Extract Manufacturers Association, the leading industry association for the flavoring industry, recommended similar actions as far back as 2004. The simple and sad truth is that OSHA has failed to do its job, and thus in this case, Congress must act to protect workers. These workers deserve a safe workplace. As Eric Peoples said, and I quote, "I played by the rules. I worked to support my family. This unregulated industry virtually destroyed my life. Please don't let it destroy the lives of others." So I ask members to join me in promising that we won't stand by and let this industry destroy the lives of others. Let's pass H.R. 2693. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back the balance of my time.
gentleman yields back. The gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, I yield myself the balance of my time.
The gentleman yields himself such time as he may consume. The gentleman's recognized.
We're considering this bill under unfortunate circumstances. A number of workers have become ill, and it's not entirely clear why. We suspect this particular food flavoring, diacetyl, may be involved, and so we all support a thorough investigation into the substance and how exposure to it may impact workers. Like my friends on the other side of the aisle, I wish there was an easy answer. If only we knew what had made these workers ill, we could immediately eliminate the risk. If only we knew for sure that diacetyl in manufacturing alone caused lung obstruction, then federal agencies could go through the appropriate regulatory process to establish exposure limitations and take the necessary steps to protect workers. Unfortunately, we do not have enough information at this point in time to take such action. Research is underway, and it's my hope that the research continues quickly so that we can get to the bottom of these questions about how diacetyl impacts manufacturing workers. Until that research is available, until we have a scientific basis for regulation, in my mind, we simply cannot move forward. There is a very real danger that by acting too quickly, we could inadvertently push manufacturers to begin using substitute flavorings. There is a possibility that these substitute flavorings could also put workers at risk. Thus, a hurried regulation may provide a false sense of security while manufacturing workers remain vulnerable. Again, I understand the frustration about a lack of clarity on the administration's intent in this area. Until the recent announcement by the Department of Labor that it intends to undertake a rulemaking process for this flavoring, we had not received any clear indication from the administration that it intended to take action. As such, I believe on some on the other side of the aisle believe they had no choice but to act themselves. Mr. Speaker, I recognize the difficulty we face. We have workers who have fallen ill, and we do not know why. We have questions about a flavoring that workers are exposed to during manufacturing, but we do not know whether it is the sole cause of their ailments. We have a federal regulatory agency that is responsible for ensuring workplace safety, but until this week, we did not know whether the agency would act. Republicans proposed a sensible alternative when this bill was considered in the committee, and we plan to do so again today. We want to balance our pressing desire to act quickly to protect workers with our equally important need to adhere to sound science. Because I believe it undermines the basic regulatory framework and neglects the necessary scientific foundation, I regret I cannot support the bill in its current form. I hope that my alternative, the Wilson Amendment, will be adopted so we can quickly increase protection for workers while relying on scientifically based evidence to guide the final rules to provide the strongest protections possible. I yield back the balance of my time. The
gentleman yields back. Gentleman from California.
How much time do I have, Mr. Speaker?
9.5 minutes.
Pardon?
9.5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, this isn't about confusion. This isn't about uncertainty. This is about the absolute failure of a federal agency that has been established and designed and continued to protect the health and the safety of American workers, the Occupational Health and Safety Administration, and the absolute failure of that agency to take action. The absolute failure of this administration, the Bush administration, to insist they take action in light of mounting and compelling evidence that workers in popcorn manufacturing facilities and workers maybe now in other food industries have been stricken with a horrible disease that has been directly related to diacetyl. I appreciate they want to throw up all of the other reasons. Maybe it wasn't OJ. But the fact of the matter is, here it is, diacetyl. And we got to understand that. because people are going in for lung transplants, people are losing their ability to earn a living, and people, in fact, have died from the results of this, and manufacturers and others are paying out millions of dollars. Now, the other side wants to offer an amendment that's based upon very old information, 3 years old. Well, in those 3 years, NIOSH has recommended that actions be taken. The actions were not taken. NIOSH based that on the information at that time. Then the industry recommended that actions be taken to protect the lives and the health and the safety of these workers, and actions were not taken in many parts of that industry. And lo and behold, on the day that we're arguing this bill on the floor, we find out that OSHA has finally taken action. And what action has OSHA taken? It didn't take action in the absence of information. It specifically states that they're updating the material. What the hell are these things? Material safety data sheets, because they have to include newer health effects information. Information they need to understand the hazards associated. This is OSHA as of today. OSHA couldn't figure it out yesterday. They couldn't figure it out last year or the year before or the year before. But because Congress is moving, they're now going to give people a data sheet that says that diacetyl in the data sheet from OSHA today can cause damage to respiratory tract and lungs if inhaled, and it's highly flammable. This isn't because we don't have information. This is because they refuse to act before the Congress. Now, the gentleman from the other side wants to talk about the fact that they've put together a rulemaking process. No, what they announced was a one-day meeting of stakeholders, and then that was the end of it. We don't know whether they're going to go to the rest of the process or not. There's no indication in their past that they have. They have forfeited their right to suggest that they will set the time and the tempo and the urgency of the protection of these workers and their families. They have forfeited that. We're stepping in here, and in the first interim standard, we're asking NIOSH to do what they've already recommended they do based upon the evidence they have today. We're asking them to join with the manufacturers who have made these same recommendations based upon the evidence that they have today. And what are they asking them to do? This is the first precautionary things that you do. Isolate the mixing room from the rest of the plant using walls, doors, or other barriers. Provide mixing room with a separate ventilation system and ensuring that negative air pressure relative to the rest of the plant is maintained in the mixing room. Yes, they're doing this because they have information, as they say, that this can cause damage to your tracts, to your breathing tract, respiratory tracts, and your lungs. The other side wants to suggest in this amendment, if we just knew more, we could do better. It goes on and on. They suggest you're reducing the operating and temperature of holding the mixing tanks at a minimum temperature necessary. Equipping the headspace of the mixing and holding tanks with flavoring are added to oil and held in a pure form. Automating the mixing process using closed processes to transfer flavorings. These are all designed to protect these workers. And they would not have happened but for this committee action, but for this floor time, for this debate, and but for us voting this bill out of here. This is the least we can do, to ask these agencies to do what they've already recommended they should do in 2003, to do at least what the manufacturers have already recommended they do in 2004. And then we ask them to proceed with a permanent standard using their scientific evidence, their data, their knowledge, not ours. And that's the process by which these workers are going to get protection. They're not going to get it from the gentleman's amendment on the other side of the aisle, and they're not going to get it from stalling the Congress from going forward. This is our opportunity to respond to an urgent medical crisis in this industry by these workers and their families. And I ask my colleagues to support this legislation when it comes time to final passage and to defeat the amendment by the gentleman, Mr. Wilson. I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back. All time having been yielded back, the general debate time has expired. Pursuant to the rule, the amendment in the nature of a substitute printed in the bill shall be considered as an original bill for the purpose of an amendment under the 5-minute rule and shall be considered read. No amendment to the committee amendment is in order except those printed in House Report 110-3 349. Each amendment may be offered only in the order printed in the report by a member designated in the report, shall be considered read, shall be debatable for the time specified in the report, equally divided and controlled by the proponent and an opponent of the amendment, shall not be subject to an amendment, and shall not be subject to a demand for division of the question. It is now in order to consider amendment number one printed in House Report 110-349. For what purpose does the gentleman from California rise?
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk.
The clerk will designate the amendment.
Amendment number one printed in House Report number 110-349 offered by Mr. George Miller of California.
Pursuant to House Resolution 678, the gentleman from California, Mr. Miller, and a member opposed shall each control 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from California, Mr. Miller.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is an amendment of technical nature, and it clarifies that if no one is using diacetyl, it's not necessary for OSHA to issue a standard. And the second portion clarifies that the purpose of the required NIOSH study is to study the health effects of substitutes of diacetyl. And I urge the passage of the amendment.
Does the gentleman yield back?
I'll reserve my time.
Gentleman reserves his time. For what purpose does the gentleman from South Carolina rise?
Mr. Speaker, I yield such time as you may consume to the gentleman from Georgia, my next-door neighbor of historic Savannah, Mr. Kingston.
Is the gentleman claiming time in opposition? Is the gentleman from South Carolina claiming time in opposition?
Yes.
The gentleman's recognized, and the gentleman from Georgia is thus yielded to.
Thank the gentleman, and I'm opposed to the amendment because I'm opposed to the bill. You know, one of the great things about Congress, I say to people, is it's the ultimate place for those of us with attention deficit disorder, because we have the privilege on a day-to-day basis to go from health care to war to weapons system, which airplane is better, the C-5 or the C-17, to go to farm issues. How about the cotton program? Is it good? Well, should we model it after the peanut program? Then education. College, primary, private school. Should there be prayer? Should we lower the student-teacher ratio? Indeed, the President of the United States, President Clinton, stood in this chamber once and called for school uniforms. We were experts on that for the day. Tax policy, who should get tax breaks and who should not? Trade policy, which countries are going to be in the best to trade with us? Immigration, the list goes on and on and on, but unfortunately our expertise does not continue with the demand and the issues. And here we are talking about popcorn. I would say to my friend from California that 99.9% of the members here have never been in a popcorn factory. I listened to the gentleman, my friend Mr. Miller. He knows a lot about this. I am impressed that he knows mixing rooms and building walls and so forth. But I would say most of us are not. And that's why we have agencies and commission like OSHA set up, because they fill in the blanks where we cannot be experts. They have scientists who go in and make rulemaking policies in a balanced way, this non-political, non-emotional, that is scientific, that goes in there and says, before we go out and set a bunch of standards on the private sector, let's make sure we have the experts doing the decision making. And yet, here we are, the nanny state of Congress, Nurse Ratchet once more knows best. Completely oblivious to the fact that one of the largest manufacturers of microwave popcorn just recently said that they would eliminate this product from their brands. And another manufacturer did the same thing. And then even OSHA on September 24th said that they will move forward with various measures to address the hazards of the workplace. I think that it's interesting that we have actually set up OSHA to help us, and yet we have decided now that we know popcorn and we know best. But I would say to my friend from California, your expertise is not matched by 99% of us. I'd say Ms. Woosley, being a great member who does her homework, Mr. Wilson, and the staffers who are here, y'all are the popcorn experts in Congress, and that's it. There are no other popcorn experts in Congress. I think we do have some experts on trade and on taxes and on military things. But even they have to rely on agencies and organizations to give them better information. And yet we are leapfrogging over this information. And I don't know if it's political or what, but we seem to be in a big rush to forget the standards that should be set by the proper agency. Later, we'll have the opportunity to vote on Mr. Wilson's alternative to this that would give OSHA time to set a standard that would be after a NIOSH study that's based on solid scientific evidence. It seems to me that that's a more reasonable and more balanced approach to solving this problem. And we're not even convinced. The data doesn't even say that this problem is as big and as urgent as those who are advocating this bill are. So I recommend a no vote on this amendment, even though I know it is technical in nature. But I think we should ultimately vote on the Wilson Amendment in support of it, and then I think we should pass the bill. But if the Wilson Amendment doesn't pass, we should vote it down, because Congress is not an expert on this. And we should know our limitations, and we should let the proper agencies with the scientists and the experts make the rulemaking on something so micro-technical is micro-popcorn. Thank you, and I yield back.
The gentleman yields back. Is it the gentleman from California?
How much time is remaining on the amendment?
The gentleman from California controls 4.5 minutes. The gentleman from South Carolina has 30 seconds remaining.
Okay, I'm the only speaker left.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
I'm the only speaker left on my amendment, so.
Does the gentleman from South Carolina wish to gain his time?
I yield the balance of my time.
The gentleman from South Carolina yields back. The gentleman from California is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I find it rather incredible the gentleman from Georgia would come down and ridicule the idea that Congress would act in this manner when there's been such malfeasance by the OSHA administration, by the Bush administration, and by the oversight of this Congress. I guess you can try to make light of it if you don't want to take responsibility for your actions. What we're recommending today in this legislation is what NIOSH recommended for the protection of these workers in 2003, and it didn't happen, and nobody on the other side of the aisle asked the question, why? So now we have workers who have worked in popcorn factories and maybe now in other food manufacturing facilities that are losing their lung capacity, that are seeking lung transplants, that have died and have a disease that is called grotesque by the medical profession, and suggested that when you get this, it's the equivalent of the damage to your lungs if you inhaled acid. There may be something trite in that, there may be something cavalier in that, but I don't see it. I don't see it. These families, these workers are asking for our help. Their members, these workers, are dying. The industry has tried to is asking for our help. The labor unions are asking for our help. The scientists are asking for our help. The gentleman would make light of this. He ought to talk to the families who have had members who have died or who have been severely impaired or are hoping that they can get a lung transplant before they die so they might have a chance to see their children and their grandchildren grow up and enjoy their family, not to be made light of. There's a great deal of malfeasance here by this administration, by the OSHA, by the Department of Labor, and by the failure to have oversight on this in this committee. They ought not to come to this floor and make light of this measure. This is about people's lives and about their health and about their well-being, and we should pass this amendment. We should reject the next amendment, and we should pass this legislation.
The chairman yields back his time. The question is on the amendment offered by the gentleman from California, Mr. Miller. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. It is now in order to consider amendment number 2 printed in the House report 110-349. For what purpose the gentleman from South Carolina rise?
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk.
The clerk will designate the amendment.
Amendment number 2, printed in House Report 110-349, offered by Mr. Wilson of South Carolina.
Pursuant to House Resolution 678, the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Wilson, and a member opposed each will control 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, my amendment is very straightforward. This would ensure that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, set a permissible exposure limit as directed by the underlying bill, which can be relied in science. I offered this amendment in the Education and Labor Committee, and we agreed to work together to see if we could reach an agreement. Between committee action and today, we were unable to reach an agreement on the time frame addressed by my amendment, so I'm offering it for floor consideration. I understand my colleague's goal is to set a standard for a substance that appears to be harming manufacturing workers in and around microwave popcorn manufacturing facilities. I know the well-meaning intention of their efforts. Unfortunately, I do not share their belief that this legislation will accomplish that goal. First, there is widespread concern that while diacetyl is unquestionably a marker, it is not the sole cause of lung impairment in these workers. In addition to this, however, this bill would regulate diacetyl and require a standard to be set based on little or no available science. In other words, if a food manufacturing facility substitutes diacetyl with another flavoring chemical, there is no guarantee that that chemical is not the one making manufacturing workers sick. Technically, the bill before us requires OSHA to set an interim final rule for diacetyl manufacturers and microwave popcorn plants to implement engineering controls for diacetyl exposure. It then directs OSHA to set a standard that will apply to all food manufacturing facilities. The expansion of coverage from the interim rule to the final rule in the time frame of 2 years in which OSHA is given to set the standard will impact OSHA's ability to follow the appropriate legal guidelines that would apply to normal rulemaking. All my amendment does is ensure that OSHA promulgates a regulation that, with appropriate stakeholder input and the science to establish a technologically feasible, permissible exposure limit. Also, I should note that OSHA announced Monday it would undertake a rulemaking on this substance. I should note that there is a great deal of ongoing research and data gathering concerning the health effects of diacetyl. For example, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health is working to improve measuring diacetyl, while the National Jewish Medical Center is working to gather data from workers about lung function. California OSHA also is working with the industry to gather the much-needed information to set a standard. Without any conclusive evidence, which has yet to be generated by any source at this time and point, we are putting the cart before the horse. And because of this, I respectfully urge my colleagues to support this amendment. I reserve the balance of my time.
Gentleman reserves. Does anyone wish to claim time in opposition?
I yield three minutes.
For what purpose does the gentleman from California rise?
In opposition to the amendment, I claim the time
gentleman
in opposition.
Gentleman rises in opposition.
And I yield
gentleman
to be
recognized
to
for 5 minutes, and he yields to the gentlewoman from California for how much time, sir?
3 minutes to the gentlewoman from California.
3 minutes. Gentlelady from California is recognized for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment ensures that OSHA can continue to slow walk a final rulemaking on diacetyl exposure for all workers. Hundreds of workers are exposed to diacetyl, and they've fallen ill with this debilitating lung disease that, as Chairman Miller told you, was equivalent to inhaling acid. Can you imagine what their lungs looked like and why at the age of 30, a young father has to have a double lung transplant and maybe that won't even save his life? The amendment removes the requirement that OSHA complete final rulemaking within 2 years of enactment of this legislation. Under this amendment, the final rule would not be required to be completed until 2 years after NIOSH makes a finding that there's sufficient data to support a recommended exposure limit. NIOSH has already told us that they know this is something that they support, and that diacetyl should be and must be controlled. If NIOSH is delayed, more workers, including the workers we're talking about today, will be unprotected. While workers in popcorn and flavoring facilities would be protected under the emergency standard, workers in other parts of the food industry where diacetyl is being used would be left unprotected for an undetermined number of years. Not days, not months, but years. One food manufacturer, for example, recently announced a new line of artificial butter containing diacetyl despite its hazards to workers. Those workers would lose protections because of the Wilson Amendment. This interim rule, Mr. Chairman, covers a narrow band of workers, popcorn workers and flavoring facilities. By slow walking this final rulemaking, as Mr. Wilson's amendment would allow, other workers exposed to diacetyl will continue to get sick. They will continue to die. Vote no on any further delay to workplace safety rules. I yield back to the chairman.
Gentlelady yields back. The gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, I inquire as to the time remaining.
2 minutes. The gentleman from South Carolina has 2 minutes remaining. The gentleman from California has 2.5 minutes remaining.
Mr. Speaker, I yield such time as may consume to the gentleman from California, the distinguished ranking committee member, Mr. McKeon.
Gentleman from California is recognized for as much time as he may consume.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the gentleman for yielding and for his work on this amendment. We're kind of facing a dilemma. I think both of us, both sides, want to protect workers. However, we want to make sure that they're protected by sound science. This amendment immediately starts the 90-day rule, which would protect people from diacetyl, those working on popcorn or other products, and then it requires that within the 2 years they have the final rule based on sound science. And I think that this amendment would solve the dilemma to make sure that if diacetyl isn't the only cause, we have the time to find the science to make sure that the workers really are protected. We may find that diacetyl and diacetyl alone are the cause, but if not, and we have moved forward just on diacetyl, these workers will think they're protected, and in the long run, they will not be. And this is why we're really concerned. We move quickly to provide the 90-day rule, but then allow the time within the 2 years to base the final ruling on sound science. For that reason, I ask that we support the gentleman's amendment that would fix this bill, and I yield back the balance of my time.
Gentleman yields back.
Remaining.
The gentleman from California controls 2.5 minutes remaining.
And the gentleman has a right to close on his amendment, is that correct?
The gentleman yielded back. The gentleman has 30. Pardon me, the gentleman from South Carolina has 30 seconds remaining. The parliamentarian informs the chair that the gentleman from California has the right to close.
Okay. Thank you. I yield myself 3 minutes.
The gentleman from California is recognized for the maximum of 2.5 minutes.
Pardon?
The gentleman only has 2.5 minutes remaining.
3.5 minutes, right?
Two and a half minutes.
I yield myself 2 minutes.
Gentleman yields himself 2 minutes. Gentleman's recognized.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. Mr. Speaker, members of the House, this amendment was offered in committee, and we rejected the amendment, and we offered to work with the gentleman. We've had a series of discussions, and he's been involved, and the staff have been involved in the discussions. But at the end of the day, the simple fact was that they would not agree to any deadline for NIOSH or OSHA to act in this amendment. We think the timetables that are in the legislation are very important. If we take off these timetables, all of the past evidence suggests that OSHA and NIOSH will sort of tend to norm, and once again we'll have an open-ended process here where there isn't an urgency about the impacts of diacetyl. We know what diacetyl does. That's become very clear. We don't know about everything else in the workplace. We don't know about everything else in the workplace, but we know what this very bad chemical can do to people and what it's causing for them to do. And so we lay out NIOSH to do what they've already recommended, the manufacturers laid out.
then OSHA will do the final rulemaking. If they come back and say they can't do it, that's their scientific evidence. We're not putting a legislative prescription on them. But what we are insisting is they address it, and they address it now, and they address it on the evidence that is here and emerging, and that they make a decision and they protect these workers. That's what this legislation is about, and that's what this amendment would negate. And I reserve the balance of my time.
The gentleman reserves. Gentleman from South Carolina.
Mr. Speaker, again, I urge adoption of the amendment. I want to commend my colleagues again for their good intentions. I would like to restate that as a former member of the state board of the American Lung Association for a number of years, I've had a long time concern about lung illnesses. I sincerely believe that the amendment that I have, which provides that action would be taken upon scientific evidence, is in the interest of the manufacturing workers of the United States. I yield the balance of my time.
The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from California.
Mr. Speaker, I urge members of the House to vote against the Wilson Amendment and then to support the legislation. If we adopt the Wilson Amendment, we're going right back to the status quo, and the status quo is killing these workers in these facilities, and we have the ability to stop it with this legislation. We should stop it now. We should not any longer empower OSHA to continue to drag their feet and ignore the health and the safety of these workers and their families. I urge a no vote on the Wilson Amendment and an aye vote on the legislation. And I yield back the balance of my time.
The gentleman's time has expired. The question is on the amendment offered by the gentleman from South Carolina. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the noes have it. The amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Speaker, I ask for a recorded vote.
The chair has requested the yeas and nays. A recorded vote is requested. Those favoring a recorded vote will rise. A sufficient number having arisen, a recorded vote is ordered. Members will record their vote by electronic device. This will be a 15-minute vote.